This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hawks against the Miami Heat. And if memory serves, Andy would prefer that the Cavaliers play the Miami Heat, would prefer that they play the Atlanta Hawks. And guess what? Really doesn't probably matter.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, really probably doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Cavaliers should win that series. I do think, though, both of those teams have good head coaches. Quinn Snyder's playoff record, not stellar. Eric Spoelstra's, yes.
Is Quinn on the floor shooting?
No, but don't downplay the role of a coach because we've given Kenny Atkinson so much praise this year.
No, it has nothing to do with Kenny. I'm just saying, I mean, if they can't win in the playoffs and he's scripting the right plays and guys can't execute, it's hard for me to get mad at a coach on that.
Why is it that you would want to see Atlanta?
I don't. You do. I want Miami.
Oh, that's forgive me. I'm looking at Miami right now and I was thinking, I would rather see Atlanta. And the reason why is this. It's not about Atlanta. It's about Miami. I think Bam Adebayo is a good young player. And I think he can hurt you. I think that they have potentially guys who could possibly exploit the Cavs a little more than the Atlanta Hawks do. And I say exploit because I'm looking for a reason to think one of these teams might be more difficult than the other. So I'm just looking at that. Andrew Wiggins on the wing, he could be something. Tyler Herro's a 6'5 shooting guard. If he gets hot, he can win a game by himself. I think those guys are guys to keep an eye on. Duncan Robinson, who has not been quite what he once was, maybe, but he's still a tough player at 6'7. I think Miami could pose some issues. And Terry Rozier, local guy. Maybe Terry gets them all fired up. I don't know. I'm just looking. If I had to pick one or the other to avoid, it would probably be Miami. I'd rather play Atlanta.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm the guy that called out. I wanted the Indians to play the Yankees in the playoffs a couple years ago. So if you ask me, especially because early on I thought Atlanta's success was a little bit better against the Cavaliers than Miami's was. I don't know. Maybe it's just more of a gut feeling. And we can talk about the matchups all you want. First of all, we shouldn't even be worried about either one of these teams as fans.
Well,
I'm saying that we shouldn't be worried about the way things are going to go down in this next series. But if there's any hiccup in this thing, it is going to make us think twice about anything that happens in the second round. To get there. Now, should we be talking about the second round? Or are you going to, if they get knocked out in the first, go, I can't believe you were talking about the second round. I can't believe you were talking about Boston. Why would you even think about talking about Boston? They can't get by Atlanta. They can't get by Miami. You guys were all into it all season. And you know, everyone knows the Cavs played these teams and these teams weren't exactly 100% all the way through. And maybe the numbers aren't exactly what they seem to be. No, I think this team should be able to roll through either one of these teams in five games at the is probably where it should be against either one of these teams. I don't know why. I think maybe it may not be an easy time in either one of these games. Let's face it. I mean, these teams they're there because they've been able to be better than half the league at this point, right? So I don't know. I think the Cavs should be able to roll through both of these teams, and for some reason I would rather see them play Miami. Maybe it's just because I'm still mad at Miami for LeBron.
Does the Caris LeVert, George Niang thing do anything for you?
No, I just think it's another storyline. That's all it is. And I still feel
they're not going to bring any big secrets to the table.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're going to talk about that one time everyone was smoking cigars after that big win, after the 15th win in a row. Oh, what are they going to bring? It's probably more beneficial for the Cavaliers than it is for the Hawks. We know two of their players. They know one of ours, right?
Well, I'm just wondering. Atlanta had some success against the Cavs in the regular season, but, of course, DeAndre Hunter was on Atlanta at the time.
Yeah.
So that's something. We'll see.
Maybe it is a better matchup against Atlanta. Dan, who do you want? I thought we talked about this for a second yesterday.
I don't care. You have to pick a team.
Pick a team.
Give me Miami.
Okay.
Sure. But in the grand scheme, I don't care.
Why, though? For no other reason than that Andy made you pick one?
That's probably the reason. I think the Miami Heat have less talent than they have in the past. I think the Magic,
I would agree with that, by the way.
The Magic Eric Spoelstra pixie dust, I don't think can stretch them as far as they need to with the lack of talent on that roster. I love Bam Adebayo. I enjoy watching Bam Adebayo play basketball. But, I mean, Tyler Hero is going to throw up 30 shots and hope with everything in him that 15 of them fall. And that's their offense.
Hero's in a position where he has a potential contract extension coming up. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things where it's are you going to get a big-time contract? You're going to be in Miami, blah, 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 blah. Best way to lock that up is to be a dominant force in a playoff series. So he'll be extremely motivated. I was chatting with a friend in Miami yesterday, actually. And the rumbling seems to be, okay, would you pay Hero that big contract extension? Will the playoffs have anything to do with it? And would Heat fans just be happy if they get past Atlanta and get into the play-in tournament? So they might not be thinking about a great big long run down there, but Pat Riley probably is. And you can be sure Eric Spoelstra is going to coach like he might be able to get one.
I know the leagues would never do this, but I also don't think the teams under 500 belong in the playoffs. I'm all for teams making the playoffs, but teams under 500 should not be allowed in the playoffs, which would pretty much eliminate everybody but Orlando. You could give Atlanta the 8th seed because they had the 8th best record, but Chicago and Miami had no business being in the playoffs. I'm sorry. If you can't win 40 games to get there, come on.
Well, that's what the play-in tournament's all about.
Yeah, that's why it's horrible. It's horrible.
Except for one thing.
Nope, there isn't. It's horrible. I hate it.
Except for one thing.
Okay, what is it? For your one thing.
Sometimes with injuries and blah, 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 you don't find the best team, or you don't find your own best team. You know, like, is Miami playing better now than they have? Is Atlanta playing better now than they have? And it might take you a while to find yourself during the regular season. And that could do it. The one thing about...
Other teams have to find themselves during the regular season. Everyone's got to deal with injury. Everybody's got to deal with it.
Okay.
Like, this is more of a Jeff Phelps argument, too.
In some specific situations, maybe a team doesn't really get it all together until later in the year.
So give them a commissioner's exemption and let them in the playoffs if they had injury in the beginning of the year. I just don't think it's if you're not 500, and I think this is true in every sport, so please don't think I'm being exclusive to basketball on this. It's just like... Wouldn't it have been real easy to look at the Western Conference and go, you know, Golden State, they were 48-34. Memphis, they were 48-34. They deserve to be in. They're the 8th seed. And then you look at Sacramento, they were 40-42, and Dallas was 39-40. They weren't even 500. Like, come on. I understand the money. I understand all those things.
I think there are too many teams and too many playoff teams in most every sport, but it's all about TV and money.
I can live with 8. I think 8 in each conference is right. It's a nice, clean number. It's good. And for the most part,
circular number. You got two circles.
That is true. On top, if you put it on the side, it's infinity, right?
I like them a lot.
Yeah, if it tips over, you got infinity.
You got infinity. Yeah. Look, I can live with Atlanta being 40-42, even though they're under 500, because that's as close as you can pretty get. And Orlando was 500. So it's kind of aggravating me that we were waiting for a whole week. Wouldn't it have been nice to start the playoffs yesterday?
I heard Chris Fedor yesterday on the on the afternoon show with the guys. And Chris made a comment that I thought was absolutely right. And it was, they have to, the Cavaliers, because I don't think this is about Atlanta. I don't think it's about Miami. I think it's about the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make sure that they hammer Evan Mobley and Jared Allen in the offense.
You know, I agree with that.
It cannot become a backcourt-dominated offense in the playoffs. Backcourt points, though, might be plentiful, can often be hard to come by. And if Evan Mobley continues with the next step that he's made this year, I think he's an offensive force in the playoffs. And I think they have to make sure that they get him the basketball. And we saw times, maybe it was him, maybe it was Scheme in the past under JB in the playoffs, where Evan just didn't get the ball very much. And I think they need to make sure that they get him the ball and that they make sure he's not just in the offense, but a focal point of the offense. Tom is in Menor. Tom, welcome.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Not too bad, guys. Hey, Andy, I do agree with you. I think, first of all, the playoffs are watered down.
Yeah.
We all know that in all the sports.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, man, you know, 38 and 44, 40 and 42, you're not even 500 and you're making the playoffs. That's why I don't even watch the first round of the playoffs, because I think it's a joke. Unless teams 4-5 or 3-6 might be competitive, but 1-8 and 2-7, I mean, they should basically kill them. And then, I don't know if you remember this, but back, I think it was in 04. I'm not positive the exact year, but it was the St. Louis Cardinals. They were 83-79 and won the World Series.
Well, and that's the scary thing about a playoff series, Tom, right?
I know. But, I mean, were they the best team, though? I mean, they were on that particular month in October or whatever, but I still think they watered it down too much. I think division winners, I'm okay with one, maybe two wild cards. But outside of that, when you start going to 3-4 wild cards, now you're looking at 500 teams on under making playoffs. And, I mean, come on. I mean, they're selling tickets for $12 in Dallas.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I noticed that yesterday, too, how cheap the tickets are for these games tonight.
I mean, they don't want to go. Why would you go? I mean, you know you're not going to get past the second round. I mean, what's the point? I mean, you got rid of their best player, and you're going to go to a playoff game that's a bunch of malarkey.
Oh, you know what? We shorted them by $5. It's 19 now. It was 12 yesterday. The Dallas-Memphis game, you can get in for 20 now.
Well, no, I don't know what time it feeds,
yeah.
And that's probably cheaper than a regular season game ticket. I mean, most places. I mean, so I don't know. I just too much watered down playoffs. I think sometimes you lose interest. That's just me.
Tom, good thank call. You very much.
Good job, Tom.
Tom thank and Menor. Sam Amico covers the NBA, covers the Cavaliers for HoopsWire.com. Sam is coming up next on the show. And I'm anxious to get his thoughts about Evan Mobley in the playoffs. And, you know, last year, Evan pretty consistent from regular season, like field goal attempts, scoring average, to playoff field goal attempts, regular season scoring average. I wonder what Sam thinks about that. Does Evan have to step it up? Do the Cavaliers have to make sure they don't become backcourt dominant in a playoff series? Whatever playoff series it is, first round, second round, finals, whatever. Sam, HoopsWire.com. Next, right here on 92.3 The Fan. Yeah. Joining us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a man who will be covering that series, everything else going on in the NBA for HoopsWire.com, his fabulous website. It's Mr. Sam Amico. Hello, Samuel.
Hey, Sam A.
Hi, guys. I tuned in like an hour ago, and I heard you arguing over Jeff's chair, so I hope I'm not walking into something here.
Oh, boy.
I think we got that taken care of. Everything's good.
Okay, good. Good to hear.
We were kicking this around. Should it matter? But Atlanta, Miami, do you care? Is one better for the Cavaliers to play in the first round than the other?
Yeah, I would think that the Hawks would be a little bit better. And again, this is a slight edge and kind of nitpicky here, but they just have been really rocky and up and down since the trade for, you know, the Cavs got DeAndre Hunter for George Niang and Caris LeVert. The Hawks can be good, but, you know, Miami, obviously we've seen what they've done through the years in the playoffs under Eric Spoelstra, what they did to Chicago the other night. They're a much better defensive team than Atlanta. So I think the Cavs are winning 4 or 5 either way, but it might just be an easier road, in theory anyway, against the Hawks.
All right, so what do they need to do just to make sure they can solidify this against Hawks? What kind of a game plan do they need to have? We talk about getting it to the big guys. Do you want them to hang it out with the guards? I mean, what is the way to blow through either one of these two teams, if that's even possible?
Yeah, you know, first of all, offensively, I don't worry about the Cavs too much because they always find ways to score. They have a lot of weapons, you know, even if Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, by chance, both of them are off, which is very rare. You still have, you know, the rise of Evan Mobley offensively this year, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, Max Strus can get it going. Obviously, Jared Allen is, you know, since February shooting like 75% from the field. So offensively, it's never the issue. You know, it's 64-18. If you're going to pick a small Achilles heel, it's been the Cavs' consistency defending the three-point line. Now, Miami's not a great three-point shooting team. Atlanta would have the edge in that area. But that's what you got to do. If you're going to blow through either of these teams and make short work of your first-round series, that's what it's going to come down to. How well, if you're the Cavs, are we defending the three-point line, which is, again, they've done a really nice job sometimes. Other times they've done a really poor job, and it's come back to haunt them. So that's how you're going to win these series going away in the first round, by at least having three, four good games where you're really defending the three-point line well.
Sam Amico joining us, HoopsWire.com. I don't know that it's a major concern because they're both really talented guys. The one thing that I don't think the Cavs should do, and I don't think Kenny Atkinson will actually allow it to happen, is to have the backcourt take over offensively. There might be a game where that has to happen. I just don't think you can shift the focus away from the total team effort that this team has had, and all of a sudden Donovan's putting up 25 shots and Darius is putting up 23. I don't think that's a recipe for success for this team. Do they avoid that? Does Kenny Atkinson make sure they avoid that? Is Donovan, is Darius, are they together in a place where they know they've got to move the ball and share the basketball?
Yeah, that's a great point, because, you know, when you have two guys who are very good at what they do and can be ball dominant, as we've seen in previous playoffs, not obviously not this year and not this regular season, you don't want to do that. Like you said, Jeff, you don't want one of those guys taking that many shots unless nothing else is working, right? And that's not been the recipe for success for the Cavs.
I mean,
you need Evan Mobley, you need Jared Allen, you need Max Strus, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, you need all of those guys getting a lot of touches, right? There's seven guys if you include Mitchell and Garland, and they know that, you know, and I think that that's really been Kenny Atkinson's strength, is sometimes things can go that way where Garland or Mitchell, and not being selfish, but just doing things to say, look, unless I'm taking a lot of shots, we may not win this game. Sometimes they're right. But most of the time, for sustained success, like you just said, Jeff, it's because the ball is moving, the big guys are getting touches, Max Strus is getting touches, DeAndre Hunter, and they're really, that's how you're scoring points and really frustrating opposing defenses, by keeping the ball moving. And Kenny Atkinson's done a good job at reeling that in when it seems like it might get a little bit out of control. And guys start going one-on-one.
What did the Cavs learn last year that's going to make them better in the playoffs this year?
Well, I think more than anything, it's just playoff experience, right? Mm-hmm. You've had that now for 2 years in the Donovan Mitchell era. I think that if you know that it's going to be a more physical game now, and I think that was a lesson that they saw firsthand last year with Orlando, where they got beat up a lot in that series, a seven-game series that most people pegged the Cavs winning in four or five, is the game slows down, it gets more physical, and that makes ball movement that much more important. So, you know, and I think the other thing, too, is they have – that experience, that playoff experience. You look at Darius Garland with the play-in tournament a few years ago, losing to the Knicks the next year, last year against the Magic and the Celtics. I think that this is kind of the year that Darius Garland is ready to break through. And I think the playoff experiences from last year, the same thing with Evan Mobley offensively, the playoff experiences from last year were great teachers.
Sam Amigo joining us, hoopswire.com, and you can go read Sam's website and all kinds of things that covering the NBA, including the Cavaliers. The
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Cavs, clearly, Sam, best record in the regular season in the Eastern Conference. They were outstanding. That doesn't mean a whole lot when you get to the playoffs. What teams in the East do you think might be able to knock them out? Is there a team before that they would reach the Eastern Conference Finals? In other words, you know, Atlanta, Miami, either one of them, Indiana, Milwaukee, either one of those teams scary if you're the Cavs?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the Hawks or the Heat, but the Pacers obviously went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Now, they had some help along the way, but nonetheless, this is a team that's been there before, right? The Cavs have not. So that would be a team that would be a little bit concerning, I think. And they're very high-powered. They can score a lot of points very quickly. Obviously, the Bucks, it remains to be seen. Not a very good defensive team. You know, I hear people talk about Darius Garland's defense and how he can't get switched onto opposing players. And I'm like, yeah, wait till you get a load of Damian Lillard's defense. So, you know, they're not very good defensively. They did. Milwaukee added Kyle Kuzma at the trade deadline for this reason. I think that series, the good news for the Cavs to me is the Cavs should win, whether it's the Hawks or the Heat, in no more than five games. They should be able to wrap that series up pretty quickly if they're playing the style that they played all regular season, whereas the Pacers and Bucks could go seven games and beat on each other, which I think would be very helpful for a second round matchup. But yeah, to answer your question, I'd be a little bit leery of facing the Pacers more so than the Bucks. But at the same time, if the Bucks got it together enough to beat Indiana, then you never know what you're getting. Anytime you have a player like Antetokounmpo, you know, you're going to be automatically scary. So, yeah, there could be some trouble spots. I don't foresee – look, if the Cavs do what they did during the regular season, they're going to be just fine and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, you got to have some good luck. You got to have some good bounces. But you just got to keep doing what you were doing during the winning streaks of 15 games, 12 games, 16 games. Do those things, and you'll probably get to the finals if you do those things, if you play that way as you did during those winning streaks.
Sammy, how do you feel about the Cavs' health going into this weekend? You know, Donovan got a little time off there, but, you know, Strus was dealing with right knee issues. Mobley's got some lower back, had some lower, you know, over the last, you know, last couple days here. So what are your thoughts on the health of this team?
Yeah, they're very fortunate in that sense, Andy. Yeah. They've not had anything serious. You know, somebody explained it to me this way, and I can't remember whether it was a coach or a GM or something. They said everybody at this year
is in pain of some sort. You know, everybody's got those bumps and bruises. The nice thing is you did get a week off. If you're the Cavs, you don't, you know, you're not playing in these playing games. Your last game was Sunday, and that was all reserves against the Pacers last Sunday. So really most of these guys have had 10, 12 days off of just practice and, you know, lighter practicing. So I think that that's, Kenny Atkinson has stressed that for the last 3 weeks. We just want to get to the playoffs totally healthy, and here they are. Very fortunate in that sense. So there's no concerns there. My big thing, guys, is I don't know why the NBA, they've got to figure this out. Like the Bucks and the Pacers, they know who to prepare for all week. The Knicks and the Pistons know who to prepare for all week. The Celtics have known for 5 days. The Cavs and the Thunder, the two number one seeds in the entire playoffs, only get like 1 day to figure out who they're going to be playing in the first round in the first game. So that to me is just bizarre. But
I would trade that for the rest. I'd take the rest and 1 day. They know. I mean, they can still prepare for both teams, right? Wouldn't you rather have the rest?
Yeah. You are. You're right. You are playing the number eight seed. It's not like you have to prepare for the Celtics or Nuggets or something. So yeah, that's true too. And I think that the Cavs would gladly take the week off for sure.
How wacky is the NBA? Michael Malone wins a title with Denver. Mike Brown was doing a solid job in Sacramento. Both teams blow up their coaches. Then you get the GM in Sacramento getting blown up here. What a wacky league, Sammy.
I can't figure it out. You know, I mean, you think about, we thought the stunner of the move was the Dallas Mavericks just simply handing Luka Doncic to the Lakers. And that wasn't even like the biggest stunner of the season. You talk about Memphis firing their coach 10 days before the playoffs, and we're all thinking, what are they doing? And then, not to be outdone, 5 days later, the Denver Nuggets fire their coach and GM at the same time with like 4 days left in the regular season. Like you said, Jeff, Michael Malone won a championship, had been there 9 years and won a championship 2 years ago. And they weren't dead in the water, and they fire him 4 days before the playoffs start. It's just bizarre. And then, you know, the Sacramento Kings the other night, my buddy who covers the Kings, we were talking the other day, and he said, I wasn't even into my car after the game, and they had let him go. You know, it was like 10 minutes after the game, they fired their GM. So it's, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know if the commissioner needs to step in and say, guys, come on, you know, calm down.
Calm down.
It's out of control. It's out of control. I don't know what, you know, how are you benefiting yourself by firing your coach when you're a playoff team right before the playoffs? I just don't understand it. It's mind-boggling.
Let me throw another one in. Mike Budenholzer is a pretty good coach, has a pretty good track record. He lasts 1 year in Phoenix. You know, did Mike suddenly not learn how to, you know, did he forget how to coach? It's just one of the strangest leagues on the planet, man.
Yeah. Another guy a few years ago won a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And you're right. Did he suddenly forget how to coach? And guess what? Now in Phoenix, you've had three coaches in 3 years, and it's always been the same result. So maybe the common denominator, here's an idea. Maybe the common denominator isn't the coach. Maybe it's the roster and the team leaders, you know, and maybe they have new owners, and new owners can, you know, sometimes they come in and make their mistakes, and those mistakes are very obvious. And what a mess. What a mess in Phoenix for a team that had title aspirations.
Hoopswire.com, where you can read all of Sam's work, all of his staff's work, as they cover the NBA playoffs and do a great job of it. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and we will talk to you soon.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.